The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, to try to describe where we are, you've got to imagine the scent of fresh air, the sight of majestic birds in flight, the sound, as we heard a few moments ago, of history whispering through the trees. We're live from Mount Falcon Estate. It's a haven of luxury and adventure. As I said earlier, it's nestled between Foxford and Ballina. And I'm delighted to be joined by the man behind it all, Alan Maloney, founder and managing partner at Mount Falcon Estate. And the man who showed us these magnificent birds yesterday is the falconry manager, Daniel Gibbons. Good morning and welcome to you both. Let's start with you, Alan, on how all of this began. I mean, let's tell people the unusual fact about you. You're born in Jerusalem.
I am. One of four boys born in Jerusalem. My father was served out there for 36 years with the United Nations, Pat. Happened to be there. He's a West of Ireland man from Colchmar. Mum was from the inner city of Dublin. He was a policeman here originally going back to the 1950s. He got a chance to go there. He was supposed to only spend 6 months, but an opportunity cropped up to join the United Nations in a civilian capacity.
But he was there at the formation of much of the trouble that we see today was evolving in that time in Palestine.
Very much so. And obviously the mandate for the foundation of the State of Israel was 1948. He went out in 1952. So it was only a couple of years after that.
In its infancy when it was a turbulent time.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. And actually his entire life out there, his expertise was procurement. Procurement and logistics, Pat. So he was a front man in every war zone in the Middle East. So hence why we're born in Jerusalem. We lived in Israel, but we also lived in Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, Jordan, Cyprus, Pakistan, and India.
Now, people are listening for a hint of a Middle East accent, and they won't find one because you were educated in Newbridge.
Yeah, we had the privilege, having been educated there while we were young in war zones, obviously getting the benefit of different local educations and, in some cases, international schools. But our parents had great faith, rightly so, in the Irish educational system. So we were shipped home when we came of age, age 11, yeah, on the flight, and we ended up and were privileged to go to an establishment called Newbridge College in County.
Now, we discovered something last night, you and I, about a mutual acquaintance now sadly departed.
Indeed.
And that's the man I call Jeremiah Murphy O'Connor,
yeah,
who guided me around the holy places in Jerusalem many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And he was a family friend.
A very, very close friend of our families, and particularly my dad. My dad had an acute interest in a whole load of subjects, but particularly archaeology. And he befriended Father Jerry, as we knew, yeah, Murphy O'Connor, quite famous, as you know, based in the Echo Biblique in Jerusalem. For example, that's the establishment that were involved in all the research on the Dead Sea Scrolls from Qumran.
Yeah.
And my father's fascination with archaeology developed with this Irish priest there, and he became very much a family friend. There wasn't a Sunday, particularly between October and June, that we were out on field trips with Father Jerry all over the Middle East. Yeah, he was an extraordinary man, as you know, Pat. You're the privilege.
And his influence led you to Newbridge.
Absolutely, it did. That's the whole reason why we ended up there. It was the friendship Dad had with him, and he sensed from the Liberals. Mm. My father had great foresight. He was way ahead of his time, particularly at that. And he was looking for an establishment that had a more liberal approach. And certainly the Dominicans found that, and that's why I, one of four boys, having the privilege of going to Newbridge College. Yeah.
Now, your father, a Mayo man, your mother, an inner city woman from the South Circular Road.
Yeah.
I mean, if she had been the boss, you'd be a hotelier in Dublin 8.
Yeah, probably. By the way, she was the boss. Let me state that categorically. Yeah, she was, that typical salt of the earth inner city Dub, right? The sharpest thing I've ever come across. The wit, the humour, the charm. Those real wonderful, special Dublin people, yeah.
Now, you're becoming a hotelier. You're not an accidental hotelier because no. You had an ambition to own something like this in Mayo.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we used to come back from the Middle East every second summer. Our parents would save up their leave, what in the UN is called your annual leave. So we had the wonderful childhood memories of working on my uncle's farms here, Francie Maloney, outside Kutchmire. And we were the slave labour of the four boys. We were his dream because we were big, strong lads. And like everybody in the west of Ireland, he had a dairy herd. So we were the slave labour on the farm, Pat. At daybreak, we'd be up, breakfast, we're out. First of all, we're milking the cows, eat a production line. In those days, used to be glass, bottle, foil, caps, all four of us on a production line, loaded up and deliver every milk and pint of cream to all the households and businesses around Colchmar. Once that was done, we're back and we're out doing the turf and we're out doing the hay. And in those days, used to be the mahal. So you'd move from farm to farm. It was an idyllic, idyllic childhood here in the
world. Hard work, though.
Oh, absolutely. But as you know, as a kid, hard work, no problem with hard work. Yeah. Our treat then, we'd milk the cows in the evening, put them back out in the field, was to grab our fishing rods and head for the river path, and that was our treat.
Your career, you know, you went to college and got your degrees and so on, and then into all sorts of business elements, including finance, but ultimately arriving back here to this place.
Yeah, I suppose no more than my father, just to finish up on him. He was 36 years in the Middle East, and all he ever dreamed about was retiring to Mayo and farm. Like most people in the west of Ireland, right? It's in your blood, it's in your roots. And I suppose I, out of the four boys, always had that grow, as we say, for the West. I loved it. So while, went to university, had the privilege in Dublin, did finance, did a postgraduate studies in finance, ended up working in finance, but with all due respects, I was like a fish out of water. Every weekend I was hopping in the car, and it happened to coincide when Mum and Dad retired to the West of Ireland. He built up his old homestead, he bought a farm, he started, and then I just had this grow, I have to set up a business in Mayo. So I started, 20 years, I was looking for a property, and when I thought about it strategically, notwithstanding what I heard Dara say, I fundamentally believe strategic future of Mayo is hospitality. I mean, I don't know a brethren as warm as Mayo people. I certainly don't know a topography as spectacular. And by the way, its climate, although it can be frustrating to us, is actually very conducive. And particularly in a global warming environment, by the way, I think it's going to play in our laps someday.
Well, I mean, you at breakfast this morning, so a whole pile of people getting ready to go out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, it's a lovely day today. It's not sunny, but it's warm and it's fine.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, you know, as I said, once you have the right gear, there's no such thing as bad weather, Pat.
Yeah.
You know, we've got guys going out fishing for salmon here. We obviously own 2 miles of the infamous Ireland's most prolific salmon river, the River Moy. We have a whole bunch of anglers going out. We have a whole bunch of Americans that are heading off to the extraordinary Lynx golf courses we have here. Enniscrone's only 15 minutes from here. Cairn and Belmullet is less than an hour. We've got Ross's Point, Strandhill. You have 4 championship Lynx golf courses, all within an hour's drive of here. You have 25 different fly fishing locations, again, all within an hour and a half.
Now, this has been almost 2 decades in the making. When did you buy it? 2000 and...
I bought it in 2002, Yeah.
So 2 decades in the making. And it's a well-kept secret. This is my first time here.
Yeah.
And I said, how do I not know about this place?
Well, I'm hoping you're going to change that, Pat. But
but I mean, how do I not know about a place as wonderful as this?
I've obviously failed miserably in my marketing efforts over today. But put it this way, we're doing our best. And we've been at it, So I bought in 2002, Pat. The 26th of March, actually, 2002, I signed the contract. I packed up my career. As I said, I was working in finance in Dublin. I came down here on the 3rd of April, 2002. And everybody around here has just embraced me as if I was born and bred here. And I've been here ever since, Pat, It's work in progress, Pat, that's all I can tell you.
Well, it's fabulous. I mean, last night we had dinner in what amounts to a kind of a Bedouin tent.
Fabulous. Obviously, given the Middle East connection, I love that name. Yeah, that's what it is like. It's a stretch tent, a bamboo stretch tent, but you're right. It very much mirrors that exactly what you see in the Middle East.
And things are good. I mean...
Yeah, things are... put it, we've survived... Because it's tough. It's tough out there, as everybody knows. I mean, we opened in 2007, right into the teeth of the greatest recession this country's ever going to be. Like all businesses did, we survived. We got through that. And just as we were starting to raise our head above the pulpit, about 2017, first year, by the way, I made a profit here. We'll give you an idea. That's 10 years of losses, significant losses. And then I think all COVID comes along, So it's like, but that's the nature of life. These are the challenges. But COVID, like all these crises, they present opportunities. And that's where that tent emanates from.
But your imagination is fantastic, as you regaled us with many stories last night. But the one I recall best is when a function was allowed, but no live music.
Yeah.
So you put the musicians in another room and you streamed them through to the function room.
I did. I'm a cheeky rascal, Pat.
Well, I have another cheeky rascal sitting beside me. That's Daniel Gibbons, who is the manager of the Falconry. Daniel, you're an accidental Falconer, you told us.
I am. So I began working in Mount Falcon here as one of the fitness instructors and a swim teacher. And I was only on the job about 2 days, and all of a sudden one of the hawks flew through the doors. I had the doors open to let some fresh air in. And there was a big hawk called Phoenix, and she landed on the till in front of me and absolutely scared the life out of me. So that's our spa area and also our leisure centre facility. The bird was heading towards a candle, so I threw up my hands to get the bird out of the leisure centre. But with the hawks, when you raise up your hands, as you found out yesterday,
they land on your wrist.
They come to your wrist. So luckily, Phoenix was a nice, gentle bird. So she landed on my hand. She didn't do any damage to me at all. And I could see the falconer wandering through the woods. He finally noticed me holding the bird in the leisure centre. So he came down. He called the bird back to his gauntlet and then asked me, what happened there? I kind of told him the quick story. And then he just said, do I want to do an apprenticeship with him? From there, kind of just took off with it, basically. So,
and he has retired, and now you.
Retired. He was called Martin McPhillips, and he was a great teacher to me. But yeah, he retired there about 2 years ago, I think it was.
Now you've 8 birds in all.
We do.
You can describe them to me.
Yeah, so we have our peregrine falcon, our little mascot of the hotel himself. He's called Phantom. He's about 15 years old. We have 2 Harris hawks. They're kind of our main working birds when we take guests out. It's the hawk we walk on our hawk walk.
Yeah.
And then we have 5 owls. So we have 2 little barn owls that would be from the, you know, the Late Late Show. And then we have a Eurasian eagle owl called Rascal, a snowy owl or an Arctic owl called Snowy, and a great grey owl called Gandalf.
Yeah, and we posted some pictures online and video online of our experience yesterday. It's a wonderful experience to actually see them doing what they would do in nature, which is to hunt, to fly in the trees and so on. The owls, though, you were telling me, they're lazy.
They're like, so they get a bad reputation of being quite lazy, but it's because their instincts are, they're ambush predators, so they kind of like to sit and wait for the food to come along. So when we're trying to train the owls, sometimes they don't always do what they want to do, but it's, again, it's because they're just a little bit, they come across a little bit lazy, but to be honest, they're all following their instincts.
Yeah, every day is a school day for me because I learn different things, and we were waiting for the owls to go doo-wit-doo, and they didn't. They went yak, yak.
Yeah, our owls, the species of owls that we have actually don't make those kind of typical owl sounds. We have one guy who's called Rascal. Rascal's out, the Eurasian eagle owl. He does make a woohoo sound, but it's only usually during breeding season.
Okay, when he's looking for a mate.
Yeah.
All right. It's a hugely entertaining thing to do and very educational and interesting. And Daniel, thank you very much for showing us all of that yesterday. So back to you, Alan. The offering that you have here, I mean, we tried the falconry, but there are other things, the clay pigeon shooting.
There are, yeah. We have a couple of other things here just within the grounds, 100 acres here. I think I already mentioned, obviously, the prize, the River of Gold, the River Moy. So we, adjoining here, is 2 miles of the most prolific salmon river in Ireland. We have a lake that's also stocked with trout that we teach people to fly fish on, literally, and then they migrate to the river. We've also got a clay pigeon shooting ground, yeah. We've got archery as well. We've got the falconry. And we've other activities that we do throughout the woodland, constantly throughout the year. Some of them are seasonal. We do all sorts of things like yoga and sound baths and all sorts of alternative things, Pat. So there's also, but I mean, there's 4 kilometres of walk just through the woodlands here.
And I noticed that local people walk through.
Oh, very much so. They've always, Pat, without wishing to go into history, etc. When we bought this property, this would have been formerly a landlord's house. They would have initially had toll gates on the gates. The first thing the Maloneys did when they bought it, we took the gates off the hinges, Pat, and they've never gone on as long as we're here. So everybody's welcome here, and we've encouraged people. And when the COVID period came specifically, because I put ads in all the papers and radios, you know, because people were stuck, you know, in towns or whatever, they couldn't get out. And it's just built from there. People are coming out, they're walking their dogs, their pets. So it's very much an amenity for everybody, Pat. Yeah.
You told me last night this is a work in progress, that you've many more plans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I do, Pat. Yeah, I get frustrated trying to get them done. But, yeah, no, we've got all sorts of plans for this property. We love this property, and we think it's got the most extraordinary potential. We're trying to harness it, but we've got a lot of plans for here and the locality. And it's because of this region. I mean, myself and my family, particularly during the winter, we get time, Pat. That North Mayo coastline specifically, I know there are famous places like Clew Bay, and I know, obviously, in Belmullet and Erris, but we've snuck up to the North Mayo coast, and we have found the most extraordinary scenes in topography, totally unexplored. The county's got a whole future ahead of it in this respect, yeah.
And you have a very precocious daughter, I believe, who's a wannabe falconer.
I wonder where she got it from, yeah. Yeah, she's 10. She works with Dan. She's an outdoor kind of girl. She loves working with Dan and the falcon. She's very passionate about it. And that's her summer job here, and that funds her riding lessons because she loves horses, and she goes to a riding school in Ballinacle, Iceford. And that's the deal we have at home, of deals with all my kids. Yeah. They work here half a day during the summer, and that earns the cost of their activities, their interest. And she is, and I think I mentioned to you last night, I mean, the added benefit of that and the privilege we have, because I live here with my family. Yeah. I mean, talk about being privileged. One, to work in an environment like this, to rear children in a unique ecosystem like this, and to have the capacity and ability to get them involved in all these activities. And meanwhile, giving them a supplementary education because they're bumping into people, mixing with people. it just builds confidence in children. You know?
What I like about the makeup of this, often you go to hotels and there are no local people working anymore. You have a mixture of great people from outside the country and local people all contributing in equal measure.
Yeah, and I'd have to say, and again, without Plumas, as I say, in the west of Ireland, whatever Mount Falcon is, as beautiful it is, the topography, the 198 species of trees, the 96 species of fauna, all the flora, et cetera, et cetera. Actually, what makes Mount Falcon, like it should do, it's actually the soul, it's the staff. We've people here have been with me from the day I opened, and thankfully they've stuck with me through thick and thin, Pat. Yeah. Over the years, we've had to, obviously, and we've had some huge additions from some of our other, particularly European countries. Our Polish colleagues have been with us for 15 and 17 years. We have families here, husbands, wives, daughters, sons, nephews, grandchildren, all part of the family. Of late, as you met last night, we've some extraordinary people who came to join us from France. We have a sommelier out there, Max is his name, he's a fantastic young. We have a Portuguese restaurant supervisor there, and he's as good as I've come across anywhere on the planet. So we've had to mix it to his end. However, all things been equal, and always been the case here, all things been equal, local people will always get preference here when we're employing them, thankfully. And I said from the beginning, if we couldn't have one local people and get local people to feel comfortable to come in here, I would have failed with my objective from the beginning, Pat.
Well, I think you've done the opposite. You've succeeded in spades. Alan Maloney, founder and managing partner at Mount Falcon Estate. Thank you very much. And thanks to Daniel as well. Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.